Our scripture selection is found today in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, verses 13 through 22. Hear the reading. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Thus endeth the reading of the Holy Word. May it bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Almost everyone enjoys receiving a gift, and gifts are meant to be opened and enjoyed. We like to get gifts that are beautifully wrapped, and I can remember in our family some Christmases when my parents would say, "Oh, those packages are too beautiful to open." We've also received gifts wrapped in newspaper and some that have not been wrapped at all. But all of these gifts are meant to be received and enjoyed. And maybe you're like me, I'm a little bit scotch, and I like to save the wrappings too, because I think that's part of the gift. And perhaps that's the reason that the world may still be without peace, almost 2,000 years after the birth of one who was called, among other things, the Prince of Peace. But that's much too simplistic a statement to make. But it makes as much sense as some of the others I have heard recently. That we are so caught up in the wrappings of the gift of peace that we have not opened that gift to enjoy it ourselves. About the same time that Jesus was born, or maybe even earlier, there was a Roman official, a very important person, who made a statement to the forum or to his armies or to the other generals. And he said to them, if you want peace, you must prepare for war. And this is the message that we must convey to all the world. And of course, he made that statement in Latin, not in English. The known world then heard the message loudly and clearly as the Roman armies tramped through their homelands, bringing peace, the Pax Romana, through their greater numbers of well-trained and well-supplied Roman armies. The world has heard this message and heard it well. And even though in the time intervening between the time it was made and today, it has never brought about a lasting peace, we still hear those words being spoken in many languages around the world. If you want peace, you must prepare for war. But what of the words that come to us from the carpenter of Nazareth, whom some of his friends called a prophet, and even some of his enemies called a prophet? This person said to his friends, I have to leave you for a little while. We've had a short time of ministry together. We've had about 3 years. And while the world will not be able to see me, you will be able to see me. And because I will still be alive, you have the hope also of being alive. And I will not allow you to be desolate. The Holy Spirit will come to you and help you remember all that I have tried to teach you. One thing I'm going to leave you, and that is my peace. And I'm giving you this peace freely, not as the world gives, and not as the Romans do, not by that peace that comes through conquests and displays of superiority, but peace that comes from practicing the presence of God in all of creation, in all of the world which God so loves. Now that speech was not that long, of course, and was probably not in Latin or Greek or English, but it was in Aramaic. And that has very little to do with what we're saying, except that those words are also being heard today, but not in as great a number as those of the Roman notable. And what of that message of peace which comes to us from the cross itself? As persons began to think about what had happened to them, to think about what had happened in the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they began to try to interpret to one another what this really meant. And they began to unwrap this great gift from God, this great gift that God had given the world through Christ Jesus. And when they began to do that, they heard the message of the acting out of the love of God for the entire world, for all of creation, the peace of God which comes through the reconciling of all persons, of all creation in one body, truly divine and truly human, at one and as one. And Paul spelled it out very carefully and very plainly and said to the people that the uncircumcised people and the circumcised people were joined in the one body on the cross. Now that doesn't mean a great deal to us today. Those were not only physical marks, those were political parties, they were religious parties, they were factions within factions. We might understand it better if we would use Republicans and Democrats, or if we use some of the other known factions of our church. Paul was saying there was not a separate Jesus for the saved and another Jesus for the unsaved. There is not a separate Jesus for his friends and another for his enemies. Nor were the enemies to be left out entirely. Jesus the Christ was a reconciler to all creation. And you may well believe that this was a scandal. It was a scandal then, and it still is a scandal, even for some of those persons within our own church. I thought the concept of the enemies of God or our enemies was something that we read about very early on in the Hebrew Scriptures. And imagine my surprise this past week when I opened my newspaper and read a story about a man who was being tried for beating to death another man whom he claimed was an enemy of God. They all are, he said, of that particular person, of a particular race and faith. They all are enemies of God. Therefore, they must be destroyed. I thought that this idea had died out when the prophets began to report that God was speaking about my servant Nebuchadnezzar, or my tool, King Cyrus, or some of the others who were used in the history of this race, and others who seemed to have been enemies of God for many, many years. Could it be that God was and is indeed the God of all creation, all around the world, east as well as west, south as well as north? Do we really believe this? Or do we continue to be scandalized by the idea that everyone has access to God? And it was for everyone that Jesus died. If we believe, who can be named as our enemies? Is there anyone whom we can brand as unworthy of God's grace? Unworthy of God's reconciliation? And if we do, what does that say about us? And what does that do to our reading of Thou Shalt Not Judge? I began this brief homily by speaking about the gift of the peace of God in Christ. And I'd like to share with you an experience in closing. A few weeks ago, I was in the South Georgia Conference. And as many of you know, I get to as many annual conferences as I possibly can, and I enjoy annual conferences. And I particularly enjoyed being in South Georgia again. And there I met a young clergywoman who is serving a very small church in a very small community near one of the state prisons. This was her first charge this past year. And like many of you who may be serving in similar situations, she discovered that there was not much prison ministry going on. And so she volunteered and found out that she was probably one of very few, two or three, who were active in the prison ministry. The prisoners with whom she was working wanted to do something special for Lent. And she wondered what she could do, and then they decided that they'd like to act out the story of Good Friday. So they began writing their own play. They chose their own parts. And Heidi, who was the young clergywoman, began writing their comments, and that was going to be the drama. They received permission to build a cross. And the person who was playing the part of Jesus said, "It's got to be a big cross and heavy." And it was big and heavy, and they dragged it across the prison yard. Each one of the persons who participated has his own story to tell, and that's not the story I want to share. These men with whom she was working were hardcore criminals. And they were going to be there for a long time. And there was one person named Jim who chose to be the Roman soldier who thrust the spear into Jesus' side. He said, "I want to be the one that gives it to him." And they talked about that. He was very determined that was the part he wanted to play. Very little dialogue with a part like that. What do you say about it? And Heidi was really not writing very much until finally the day came and he played his part and played it very well. And after he was through, Heidi noticed he was holding his hand like this. And she said, "What do you have in your hand?" And Jim said, I have blood in my hand. And Heidi said, how does that feel? And Jim opened his hand. He said, it's blood. I know it's blood. But why does it feel like a gift?
Christ is our peace, and walls are breaking down between us. But we have found that to be a frightening thought. We would prefer to have our own way rather than reconciliation. We've been called to freedom, but hate to give up familiar chains. Let us acknowledge our own complicity in the chaos of our time and ask God's forgiveness and renewal. Let us accept in faith and gratitude the gift of God's forgiveness and renewing love in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Master, let me walk.
And now let us stand and say together responsively the prayer of thanksgiving and consecration. The Lord is with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord our God.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Truly holy, truly blessed are you, God of creation and of all beginnings, God of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and of Jacob, God of Moses, Miriam and the prophets, God of the apostles and martyrs, God of our fathers and of our mothers, God of our children and to all generations, we join the host of heaven and all your people on earth in thanksgiving and praise. Will you be seated? Holy God, we remember and proclaim with thanksgiving how for the sake of the world you gave your Son, Jesus, that we may have abundant and eternal life. By his ministry, your kingdom was proclaimed and the afflicted were made whole. When he suffered and died for our sins, his blood sealed us with your love, strong as death. By raising him from the dead, you brought us from death to life and formed us into his body. When the time had come for him to give himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, which seals God's promise, poured out for you and many for the forgiveness of sins." When he rose from the dead, his disciples recognized him in the breaking of the bread. By the power of your Holy Spirit, breathe on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that in this holy sharing we may know the presence of your Son.
Praise
and thanksgiving in union with Christ's offering, that our spirits may know we are your children, and that our bodies may be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. renew our communion with all your saints. May we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit,
all glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
In the breaking of bread, is not the body of Jesus broken for each of us? And in the gift of his life, is not his life poured out for us? Let us join together in speaking the ancient prayer of our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There is one loaf, and we are one, for we partake of its breaking and its receiving. And when we break it, it is our way of saying to the world that as varied and as different as we are one in him whose body we break. And there is one cup, and when we partake of it, it is our way of declaring for all of creation to know that we are partaking in the life and death of the one Lord who makes us one people. Amen. Together let us give thanks. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us at your table by granting us the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and send us forth into the world in courage and in your peace, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing the closing hymn. To the only God who can keep us from falling and present us without blemish before the throne of mercy. And to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and evermore. Amen.